Hi, I'm Diane Lickis, and welcome to Mental Health 101. Now, Mental Health 101 is created to maintain our mental health awareness. And today I have my special guest. She is instructional designer, author, college professor, and of course, a fellow podcaster, none other than Ms. Jackie Pellegrini.
Hello, Daniel. Great to be on your third podcast now. I love it.
Third podcast. Yes. Mental Health 101. Thank you, Ms. Jackie.
Sure.
And can you please introduce more about yourself that I miss?
Sure. So I've been an instructional designer in higher education for almost 15 years now, and I've been a college professor teaching graduate college courses for 5 years. And as you mentioned, I am writing a book, I'm an author, and I'm a podcast host. So I think if we have multiple things that's going on, we need to make sure we have that self-care and mental health that we are, so we're not burning ourselves out. So I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Yes, self-care indeed. Give grace to yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially if you're busy, always like us. So, Miss Jackie, tell us, mental health awareness has become a common phrase. What does true effective awareness look like in a practice beyond just thinking about it or talking about it?
Yes, I think, you know, what's really interesting is that because I work on curriculum at Grand Canyon University, I work mainly on the counseling and social work curriculum. So I'm reminded almost every day how important it is to have self-care, no matter what industry you're in. But the curriculum I work on is for counselors. So they can face burnout, compassion fatigue, because they're trying to do for others, right? So it's so important to have that. And so I think it goes beyond just watching a good movie or something like that, but it's really taking the time to that. And it's okay. One of my colleagues, she did a professional development years ago, and I think I'm going to tap her on the shoulder and ask her to do it again, because it was called Self-Care is Not Selfish. Because so many times there's a stigma that self-care is selfish, that if I take time for myself, that, oh, well, then I'm not doing something for somebody else. But it's like that analogy, you know, if you're on a plane and there's something going on and you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help somebody else. So the same goes in everything in life, right? We have to take care of ourselves before we can be our best for others. So, yeah.
Indeed. And Ms. Jackie, what is the most damaging or unhelpful piece of well-intentioned advice people often give to those struggling with their mental health? And what should they say or do instead?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I would say, you know, a lot of times people they'll have well-intentioned, you know, meaning behind it, but they'll say you'll want to ask them something and they'll say, yes, I can do it or something like that. But then they end up not being able to do it because they're too busy. And then someone gets mad at them and they say, well, you committed to that. Why didn't you follow through? And I think and then they get mad at the person. So I think what we need to do is have grace for that person and just say, okay, well, you know, maybe their intentions were good, but yeah, I think sometimes we can do that. Or sometimes we can just write off what someone is saying and just say, oh, everything will be okay. I've heard that a lot. You know, everything will be okay. But, you know, it may be an opportunity to actually talk to that person and just let them know you're there for support. And instead just say, what can I do to help make things easier for you? Instead of just saying, oh, it'll be okay. It may not be okay. So,
yes. Feel empathy. Kindness. Nowadays is seldom to hear for people around us.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So why so much easier for us to say, I have a broken arm than I have a depression? how can we close the gap in perceived legitimacy?
That's so important. Ms. Jackie. Yeah, because we see the physical, right? But we don't see the mental part that's going on. So, for example, there's so much with military where they, for example, they go out on combat, right? And then they come home and they face things that they have, they call it the wounds that are not seen, right? So I think it's so important to recognize that. And even if you're not a mental health professional or a counselor, you can still recognize that there's changes in that person, right? They're not talking like they used to, or they're more reserved or things like that. And they're, or maybe their temper is short. So just looking for those signs and being willing to be there for that person and just come alongside them and help them. And then if they can't, if you're not able to help them, and if they need professional help, then you're able to offer that to them and just say, would you be open to getting professional help instead of forcing them to get it? Because I think if you force someone, they tend to not be receptive to that. So letting them know that, you know, there's this opportunity where I can recommend maybe a professional counselor or a mental health professional and then see if they're open to that. But being willing to keep that communication open, I think is so important.
Truly, truly, it's important, Ms. Jackie. And the spectrum of mental health, can we better communicate that mental health is a binary of sick or well? What a dynamic spectrum that we move along throughout our lives.
Yes, because, you know, we face situations where we're not sure how to navigate something and we don't know how to go about doing that. So, for example, I was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, and that was something I was never expecting to be able to face. Thankfully, it was caught early. You know, they caught it stage one. So I had surgery, but leading up to that surgery, it was scary. I was like, okay, first of all, I get those three words that no one wants to hear. You get a phone call from your doctor saying you have cancer. And it's like, what do you do with that? Because there's not only the physical part of it, but there's the emotional, there's the spiritual, the mental, all of that. So then I decided, you know, I'm going to seek counseling before this surgery. So, and to help me not just leading up to the surgery, but after for my recovery as well. And so it was really important to have that. And thankfully my workplace has that opportunity to have the counseling and that wellness. They believe in that whole body care, right? So it's really important. So The counselor, she gave me this handout. She sent it to me and she said, the self-care wheel. She said, make sure that you try to at least do something within each of the categories. And that was really important. So it has the physical, I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, but it's got all these different areas and it's a wheel that has all these activities you can do, but it has physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, personal, professional. I think that's the last one. Yes, professional. So it's got all these different ideas. You can find self-care wheels all around, but this was really good because it gave me ideas for how I could do that. And she also helped me to come to terms with that as well.
Yeah, self-care people. Mm-hmm. And practical tools and everyday awareness, Ms. Jackie. Yes. What are the subtle early warning signs, the check engine lights for our mind that people often dismiss until they become a crisis?
Ooh, that's a good question, because I know that I've actually witnessed it before with family and friends. So I think part of what I mentioned earlier, where you have someone that maybe, you know, they're a talkative person, or you know that they like to socialize, and then all of a sudden they start disengaging. Like, for example, that you text them and they don't text you back, and you know that's not like them. That's unusual for them. Or you call them and they don't call you back or something like that. It can even be, you know, at work relationships too. So it doesn't always have to be family or friends, but it could be work relationships. If you have someone that just seems kind of like they're disengaging, right? And they're not doing much. Or, you know, sometimes it may not even be work related. It could be personal. But yeah, I would say look for those subtle signs that you know that something seems off with that individual. And you're like, this is not like this individual to be like this. And then just have an open conversation with them and say, even if it's just, is there anything you want to talk about? Is everything okay? So that way they don't feel like you're pressing them, or you're trying to pinpoint something or say something's wrong or anything like that. But just say, or even, you know, if you feel like you can, if you have that close relationship with them, just say, I'm noticing that you're not returning my text messages. Is everything all right? Is there anything you want to talk about? And then just be there and be willing to. And if they're not, if they say, no, everything's okay, then, you know, you've done your part. But at least, you know, and then just kind of see if maybe they're willing to talk later on as well. So I think just continuing to watch them. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Continue to watch them and be aware, people.
Yes.
What does a supportive language, Miss Jackie, actually sound like? How can someone express concern for a friend or colleague without sounding patronizing or intrusive?
That's a great question. I would say just using supportive language instead of saying something like you did this or you said that. You could just say, I noticed this, and is everything okay? And I think just being able to ask open-ended questions and not accusing them of something, I think, is really important. I think that helps move them along to being able to be open to those conversations. And then just saying that I'm here for you, and I love you as a person, and I love you for who you are. So even though they may be facing a hard time with that, whether it's an addiction or something that's going on in their life, that you're there and you're going to meet them where they are and hopefully help them beyond that.
Speaking of love, 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 Miss Jackie, yes. Tell us your podcast, Designing with Love.
Yes. Yeah, so it's an educational podcast. And what I try to do is help those that are not familiar with education or the instructional design industry to be able to have practical tips and tools that they can utilize. And it kind of goes into a little bit of that support system, right? So being able to help support educators and fellow instructional designers so that they can help their fellow educators and learners and all of that to be able to make the most out of what they have and be able to use those tools and techniques that are going to be able to obtain outcomes, if it's for a corporation or for a school, be able to help students to learn and to grow. So it's a really, it's a labor of love. So that's why it's called Designing with Love, because it's something that I love doing. And it's a lot of fun to be able to teach the next generation of educators and designers. So I love it.
Yes. Definitely, it's all about labor of love, people. Let's support Miss Jackie, available where you listen your podcast.
Yes.
So, Miss Jackie, we brush our teeth daily for physical health. What does equivalent for a daily mental health hygiene looks like as a preventative practice?
I think it's really important to do those little simple things, like if it's going out for a walk or just walk. They say even just going outside and, you know, breathing the fresh air is always nice. Like, for example, I'm in Arizona and we've been having thunderstorms lately. And I always love the smell of rain after a rainstorm. So I like to go outside and just breathe in the fresh air. Even at work, you can do little things too. Like for me, I work from home. And so working from home, you can start to get into that, that mindset of, I've got to get all this work done. And you just sit at your desk for hours and then you don't realize it's been hours. So just getting up and stretching, walking around, I think is so important. And sometimes I'll even listen to music while I'm working too. And so it really helps to kind of keep you centered and grounded, I think, a little bit more. So just taking those moments, even if it's just 5 minutes, can really make a difference. And yeah, walking away from the computer a little bit is always helpful.
Definitely, it will be helpful. And Miss Jackie, how can leaders and managers model vulnerability about their own mental well-being to create psychologically safe environment for their teams?
I love that question. That's great. I think one of the ways is to have that open door of communication with your team, because so many times we get caught up in the work and the outcomes. And so I think if managers and leaders can foster that open line of communication, I think that that's number one. And also too, if you have an employee that is going through a hard time, just being able to offer support in any way you can. It doesn't have to be monetary, but for example, on my team, we've had instances like what I mentioned with my cancer diagnosis and things like that, and other situations where someone has had a really hard time, a death in the family or something like that. And we'll actually come alongside that individual and we'll offer, like we'll pull together money for that and for that family. And we'll just say, here, we're here to support you. Get them a gift card or something like that to show that we're here to support you. And it's not just about the gift. It's not just about the sending the money, but it's more of being able to ease some of that burden for them. So it's really so important to show that you not just care about the employee and their work that they're doing, but you care about them as a person and who they are and what they can, because it, to me, it's not just about, and I think with managers too, it's so important not just to look at the person that's on your team as a worker or as an employee, but to look at them as an individual and treat them as individuals too, and that not everyone on your team is going to appreciate things in the same way. So for example, there's that appreciation language that they have, or I'm sorry, the love language. You know about that, right, Daniel?
Yes.
The love language. Yes. Yeah. So the same authors that developed that, the love language, they also have an appreciation language for work, and it's called appreciation at work. So we did a professional development, myself and some colleagues, years ago, and we were able to get approval to have those that were taking the professional development to do this appreciation inventory. And it's really neat because it shows that not everyone has the same appreciation language. So someone might appreciate the gifts more than they appreciate the words of affirmation. So it has all these different ways that you can appreciate your employees. So I would say to managers and leaders, if you're able to invest in something like that and be able to have your employees take that, I think that would be really amazing. Yeah.
That would be amazing for sure. And people respect, because respect, please respect each other. That, yes, they will respect you too.
Great.
So what guidance do you have for someone considering disclosing a mental health condition to their employer? What are their rights that should they consider?
Yes, that's important. I think one thing that they can do is if they feel comfortable going to their immediate manager, I think that's the first step of doing that, and then being able to let them know what's happening. But then also, I think if they can go to, you know, human resources and get some resources and see what's available for them. And so, you know, many times employers will have health plans where they'll have resources. Like I mentioned with my situation, and I was able to get 3 counseling sessions as part of my plan for free with my healthcare plan through my employer. So I would say knowing what resources are out there, a lot of times you don't even have to go to HR. You can just go to the HR website or the company website internally, right? And you can see what's available. So, but if, you know, if you don't want to go to your manager, maybe even go to a colleague, someone you can trust, and say, I'm just struggling a little bit with this. And what would you recommend or something like that? So I would say just, you know, if you have those good relationships with your coworkers and with your manager, trust that they can help you and give you the support you need.
Yes, definitely. So, Ms. Jackie, what does a mentally healthy community look like? And what small actions can we all take to contribute to it?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think a healthy community that is mentally healthy, I think they're able to be there for each other, form that bond in that community so that they know that when things happen that are not so good, you know, they can come alongside each other and support each other. And then when there's great things that happen in each other's lives, you can support that and celebrate that together. So I think being able to be there in the ups and downs of life, I think, is so important. So building a strong community and a strong sense of support so that way people feel like they're not alone, because chances are someone else has been through a similar situation, or either they've been through it, they're going through it, or they're about to go through it. So that's what scripture always talks about that too, you know, the storms of life that we go through. And then just celebrating the good times and the good moments so that way you feel like there's that balance of support. So you're not just going to that community for when you're having hard times, but you feel like you can go to that community when you can celebrate something like a marriage or something like that, or the birth of a child or something. So. And so I think one so it's really great.
Small wins.
Yeah, small wins. So I think one thing that they can do is to be able to celebrate those wins.
Celebrate indeed. People and baby steps. Not all in one time. Baby steps. And for sure, sooner or later, you will succeed. Miss Jackie, why is sharing our personal stories of struggle and recovery such a powerful tool for breaking down stigma and fostering connection?
Yes, I think it's so important because it shows that we're not alone in the process. And so, for example, when I shared about my cancer story, I realized that there was a certain percentage of women that have been through the same thing I have. And so I realized, oh, I'm not alone, and I can connect with like-minded women that have been through what I have. So I think it allows you to be able to know that you're not alone. And I think also by sharing your story and not keeping it to yourself, I think you're empowering not only yourself, but you're empowering others to do the same. And it shows that you're willing to make yourself vulnerable to that. And then you also help others along the way. And so I think it's a cyclical process, and it's all about giving back to others. So, yeah.
Giving back to others. That'd be awesome. As we are doing as a fellow podcaster, we are giving back to the people who are listening right now. We're empowering you through our podcast. So, Ms. Jackie, what does recovery or managing mental health look like? Is it absence of symptoms, or is it about building a rich, meaningful life alongside them?
I think it's the second part. I think it's building a meaningful, rich life, because we know that life is going to throw curveballs at us and we're going to have ups and downs. So if you know someone that's suffering from a mental illness or from an addiction, it's not something where they all of a sudden are cured from it, right? So it's something where they have to be able to manage it day by day. So I think being able to do that and know that there's that support system out there so that they don't fall back on that, whatever it is that was causing them the issue beforehand or something like that. There's some things in life that are really, really difficult to go through, like the death of a loved one or something like that. But being able to know that there's that support system out there is really important. So for example, I have a coworker, she went through a second master's degree program in mental health and wellness at the university that we help support at Grand Canyon University. And she now helps to run a grief share program. So it's really great. And it helps people that have been through those losses to know that they have that support. And what's interesting is she tells me that individuals in that group, for the first few weeks, they don't put their camera on in Zoom because they don't want to be seen, and they're very emotional at that point. But then later on down the road, they turn their camera on, which is amazing. Yeah.
Amazing indeed, for sure. And Miss Jackie, if you could point every person to one universal resource of mental health support and education, what would it be and why?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say just go to your local, whatever your local community resources are. You can certainly look up what those are. And because there are national types of mental health resources out there, but and those are good. But I would say look to your local resources, because then if you need that one-on-one support in person, you can be able to get that. And I think that's important because it allows you to have that support one-on-one if you need it. So I would say just look to your local resources, because you have listeners all around the world, right? So just look
yes.
to your So I would say just look to your community resources. I used BetterHelp, which was a really great resource for my mental health counseling. And I believe that they're national. They have they're all over the country. And what's nice is that they're virtual. So if you live in a rural community or you don't have access to those resources, something like that, BetterHelp is really important. And I loved it. It was just great. And my counselor actually went to Grand Canyon University too, and she got her doctorate there. So we connected on that. And so I would say also find someone that shares your same values. If you can find, like, for example, if you're are Christian and you want to find a Christian counselor, you can do that. So there's ways that you can go about doing that. When you go to communities like BetterHelp, you can be able to filter out and see, you know, specific types of professionals that you want to be able to connect with. And then that way you can find something in common with that individual and be able to connect with them on that level too. So I think that's important.
Truly, truly important, people. And mental health awareness is a vital ongoing effort to demystify and destigmatize the full spectrum of our psychological well-being, transforming it from widespread taboo into organized and essential concept of overall health. It moves beyond mere acknowledgement, striving to build a culture where talking about anxiety, depression, and other challenges isn't normalized as discussing a physical ailment. And Ms. Jackie, thank you so much for being part on Mental Health Awareness. And can you please invite our listeners to support your podcast itself?
Absolutely. Yes. So I just moved over to Podpage, so you can find me on designingwithlove.com. And then you can also go to Buy Me a Coffee. Just search for Designing with Love. You can support me there by buying me a coffee. You can also go to LinkedIn, and you can find me on there. Just search for my name. And I'd love to connect with you professionally because I'm very active on
yes.
LinkedIn.
Yes, people, let's support Ms. Jackie Pellegrin, because if you support her, for sure, more and more empowering advocacy to come. More and more empowering episodes of the podcast itself to come. So, Ms. Jackie, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you, Daniel. I look forward to being on another one of your podcasts.
Yes, Bible Verse 101. More to come, people. See you soon.